This time on episode 186 of Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., we're going to be running down Legion, episode 4, called Chapter 4, and your weekly Marvel news.
I'm John from Unqualified Gamers. Hello, a podcast member of the Gunna Geek Network, just like the one you're listening to now. The opinions expressed are those of each individual. Check out other podcasts at GunnaGeekNetwork.com. And get ready, because geekiness begins in 3, 2, 1.
You have been granted clearance by Director Phil Coulson. Stand by for S.H.I.E.L.D. debriefing. All information to be discussed here is classified and may only be discussed among agents granted clearance by the S.H.I.E.L.D. director.
Now it's time for your scheduled debriefing. I'm Director Stargate Pioneer.
I'm Agent Haley.
And I'm Consultant Michelle.
Welcome to Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., a Marvel Comic Universe fan show. The show was recorded on Sunday, July 2nd, 2017, from the Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. studios and broadcast worldwide via www.geeks.live. Happy National Anisette Day, ladies!
Yay!
Oh, I see you do not know what an anisette is. You should look it up. It is an anise-flavored liqueur that is consumed in most Mediterranean countries.
Okay.
Take your word for it.
Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. is a fan-based podcast on the ABC television show Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Marvel's Daredevil Jessica Jones, Luke Cage, and Iron Fist on Netflix, Legion on FX, the Marvel Cinematic Universe, and the Marvel Comic Universe in general.
Because it's a trap!
If you'd like to talk to us about traps, please visit our website, legendsofshield.com.
If you'd like to leave us a voicemail of you saying, "It's a trap," you can call us at 844-THE-BUS-1 or 844-843-2871.
If you'd like to help us set a trap for Starpie that he won't know about, you could visit our Facebook page, Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. Podcast.
And you can tweet us at Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D.
If you'd like to leave us a video of you or somebody else maybe in the Star Wars universe saying, "It's a trap," you can check out our YouTube channel at youtube.com/GunnaGeek.
And remember, Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. is a proud member of the GunnaGeek.com network.
Lauren could not make it today. She asked for the day off, which is fine and dandy. It happens all the time in S.H.I.E.L.D. So I said, sure, that's no problem. Why don't you just take the day off? And Michelle, thank you very much for stepping in at the last moment.
It was revealed in this episode that there never was a Lauren. It was always Michelle.
Exactly.
In any case, thank you very much for joining us for this great discussion of Legion Chapter 4.
My pleasure.
Talking about Legion Chapter 4, it aired Wednesday, March 1st, 2017, on FX and earned a 0.75 rating. Remember, Legion was renewed for a second season on March 15th, 2017, just 2 weeks after this episode aired. And it is the lowest episode yet out of the 8. Wow, that is pretty low. Michelle, I don't think even Arrow has seen this low of ratings.
No, but this is FX, and FX isn't available on like every basic cable package. So this might be one that, you know, probably gain traction through perhaps online viewing or something like that.
Good to know. Plus, it was late at night. It was like at 10, 11 o'clock. I swore I was going to check out its airtime since we podcasted about Chapter 3 last week, and I did not. But I remember it being at 10, 11 at night.
Well, and also, like, by this point, everyone knew that they were confused by the show, and they were not probably getting as much tie-in into X-Men as maybe they expected going into this. So I think it kind of makes sense that you saw viewership starting to dip by now.
But next week it goes up a little bit, and we'll talk about that next week and maybe why for the rest of the podcast. Haley, we had a director for this show that is pretty much experienced in recent good episodes.
Yeah, this episode was directed by Larissa Kondracki. She has 18 credits going back to 2009, including 3 episodes of Covert Affairs, 1 episode of The Walking Dead, 1 episode of another FX show, The Americans, which is very, very good, 2 episodes of Halt and Catch Fire, 2 episodes of Heroes Reborn, 1 of Gotham, and this episode of Legion. And she was also a producer for Copper and Shedeye. Copper was a very good show on BBC America about late 1800s cops in New York. And it was canceled, but I very much enjoyed it.
I remember you talking about it at the time, and I just never had the time to check it out. And that's probably why a lot of people were probably in my boat and just never checked it out.
Yeah, there were a lot of very pretty people in that show.
How long was the series run? Was it the standard, like, 6 episodes, do you remember?
Copper?
Yeah.
I think it had 2 seasons, and I think they were, I don't know, 6 episodes each, 10 episodes each. Something. Like, not, you know, BBC America length season.
Right. Okay. Well, if you haven't checked it out already, you can probably find it at BBC's streaming site and check that out. Michelle, we had a writer, for this episode.
Yes, the writer was Nathaniel Halpern, has 8 credits since 2010, 1 The Killing, 3 Resurrection, 1 Outcast, and 2 Legion, Chapter 4 and Chapter 6, and is also a producer on the show.
All right, so that would make sense because, as we were alluding to, we never quite stated it yet, but Chapter 4 is really where it all started to make sense for us. We were rewatching this, and before we went on air, we're like, oh, is this where? Oh, yeah, this is. Yeah. So this is the episode that it made sense, at least for me. And I won't speak for the ladies, but I think it did for them as well. Right, Michelle?
Yes. And I'm really glad because there's only 8 episodes. And so I have a number where it's like where I give a TV show a try. And I almost quit after chapter 3, but I'm glad I watched chapter 4 because at the end of this episode, it's like, okay, now I know I'm in for the rest of the season.
I remember thinking when I watched this that it started making sense in this episode, and then in the very next episode, it completely quit making sense again, if I'm thinking about how the next episode ends correctly.
Yeah, I'm just celebrating the fact that I've figured it out for now, knowing that it goes off the rails again next week. But yeah, this is where we understand a lot of the things. First of all, we understand that King, the dog, is not really there, never was.
Yeah. So do we want to just talk about who King actually is, or are we waiting till?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Let's just talk about it. There's a lot of references to the devil with yellow eyes without stating the devil with yellow eyes. And it comes together in Anthony Bird's Ice Cube apartment in the middle of the astral plane. We'll get to all that, but he basically lets on to David that there is something else in his mind. So King, Lenny, and then Benny, which comes up out of nowhere with Philly, I believe, this episode, it's all revealed to not be true, to not be there. But it's interesting that at least Lenny and Benny are known to other people as well. But it's all combined into that demon in his mind, which is basically the angry boy or the devil with yellow eyes. Although I had difficulty understanding that they were both basically the same character, the angry boy and the devil with yellow eyes, until a couple episodes later. I thought there might be 2 different things, but thank goodness for the astral plane. So go ahead, Michelle. What do you got?
Well, we finally, can I reveal the character name?
Yeah, go ahead.
So I should have realized, so the dog is named King, and I'm watching the first episodes. Oh, he had a dog named King. And then you find out from Amy, there was never a dog. And then you realize that he has a psychic parasite. And I, oh my gosh, it's the Shadow King. And for basically the Shadow King being with him since he's a kid, because that's, you know, he saw to David, the dog is real. But that's actually the Shadow King being there with him as a friend. And then eventually morphs into like the angriest boy and then the demon with the yellow eyes. And then his version of Lenny post Lenny's death, if you will, and how all of those are the same thing. It's like, oh my gosh.
So Haley, what were you thinking when this was all revealed finally?
Oh, I think at this point, I don't think I I was completely sold on it being the Shadow King yet, because just the design of the facets that we're seeing were so different than what I'd seen in other iterations. But yeah, I think I had figured out that they were all tied together at this point.
I did not figure out the tie together nor the Shadow King at this point. That was revealed later, but at least I knew that there was something else. There was another entity within David's brain, which was basically just handed to us in the astral plane, which was really weird trying to transition into anyway. The fact that Oliver Bird was in the diving suit in the frozen room in the basement of Summerland, that was really odd to begin with. And the fact that he could still be alive after being in the astral plane for so long, that was something that I was really questioning at the time as well, but you just got to let it go. And okay, that's where we're at right now. I did like how this episode was narrated basically by Sid trying to discover the truth of what was behind David. And that's what this episode really gave us. So Sid's quest, along with Potomini and with Carrie, the female Carrie Loudermilk, that was interesting to follow on as well. I did not see, and I forgot about it when I was watching it this time, I forgot that the eye was masquerading as Dr. Poole in the lighthouse. So that was a nice surprise as well. This episode was really well done. I'm glad I watched it, because I was also on the cusp of like, okay, I'm out of this, or I'm going to continue watching it. So this episode came maybe an episode too late for me specifically, but I'm glad I gutted it out another episode to get to this point, because without this, the series would have just been just way out there, like 70s way out there, man. You know,
I know at this point I was telling people, if you haven't started watching it yet, wait until the season finishes and watch it all at once. That's what I was telling
people. Which is what Lauren did, and she's not here to tell her experience, but by this time, if you've watched the four, actually it's probably more like 5 hours because it's an extended time. When you watch 5 hours of this and you're finally at the point where it makes sense, that's, I think, 5 hours well spent. I mean, it's very well crafted. And at this point, you're seeing where everything else really lies and how, because even Amy was talking about David was manifesting his power even back then, because he'd say stuff and then he wouldn't be there when she went to go see him. So David's got stuff going on from an early, early age. All right, let's talk about the beginning, because Oliver Anthony in the apartment in the astral plane where the drink ices over while he's talking, that was just creepy.
Yeah, until you realize that he's still psychically connected to his cryogenically frozen body, hibernating sort of deal, and how it manifests as an ice cube, which I thought was very interesting visually.
Well, the temperature was the one thing that he said he couldn't control inside the astral plane. And I didn't consider the fact that he was cryogenically stored, basically trying to salvage his body while his mind was in the astral plane. I didn't put that together either.
Yeah, his body has the physical sensation of being cold, and this is the way his mind is manifesting that in the astral plane to try and interpret that sensation.
Was it just me, or were there a lot more visual montages in this specific episode than all the rest put together?
There were a lot in this episode, but that's because there was a lot of like explanations in this episode. It's kind of the info dump of the season.
That's right. I was going to say the Loudermilks, we get to figure out exactly what happens with them.
My only beef was that is that when Girl Carrie first showed up from Boy Carrie when he was 8, she should have been a baby, because she doesn't age unless she's outside his body.
Okay, let me get this straight. So the girl was born, and then 8 months or 9 months later, the boy was born?
No, I think just the boy was born.
See, I remember the mom with the baby girl, and then 9 months later, the boy was born. And then I don't know what happened with the girl in the meantime. So maybe I just maybe my mind is playing tricks on me, just having watched the episode, but I had a problem with it. Anybody else not see that?
Yeah, it's like, well, if the girl was born and then the boy was born, did they absorb each other, or was the girl born and then it transformed into the boy and then the girl ended up inside the boy sharing that body. But yeah, that they're trippy. And about how he, because he's older, because we learn that Carrie's been in Summerland for what, like 30 years or something? We've learned that before.
Yeah.
So he's obviously been in control a lot more because female Carrie is what, maybe
25?
Yeah. So she really doesn't get out much.
She only comes out for the interesting part. She doesn't want to do the boring things like sleep or, you know, take a shower, go to the bathroom.
Yeah, the fact that she had never gone to the bathroom, whatever it is you guys do in the bathroom, that was really, you don't eat or go to the bathroom at all? Okay, well, so that means she gets all of her energy from boy Carrie.
She just, you know, likes to come out and, you know, be a ninja.
Which if you have the option.
Repelling from helicopters. This would be a cool place for a battle. She finally gets her wish. By the way, she does get her fight, unfortunately. Well, she wins, but then she loses. And then she loses big, so.
Yeah, I really like how that was intercut, because then you sort of understand when she's moving like that, male Carrie is moving like that and feels the injuries.
Yeah, that was weird, because does that happen all the time? Like, if she's just walking around, does Carrie feel her walking?
I think it was because of, like, the high level of emotions. It, like, strengthens the bond.
Mm.
I mean, that's just the sense I got from it.
Haley coming out with a big pull. Way to go, Haley. Headcanon accepted. I don't have anything better.
Yep.
What do we got left? We got Amy in her detention cell right next to Dr. Kissinger, who she was looking for before, and finally finds her. But she is reduced to animalistic state of trying to eat the food and everything. It's not, things are not going well for Amy Holland.
She's had a rough couple of days.
It's only been a couple of days? Wow.
Like leeches, and then they're doing that strobe light, which is an actual torture technique to do that. And because it deprives sleep and it messes with the brain firing the right way. And she's just like, I don't know where he is. How many times do I have to tell you I don't know where he is?
At this point, I wasn't sure if this was another interrogation technique where you have Dr. Kissinger trying to find out where he was, and we'll find out the answer to that in the future. But that's where my mind went, is she is not safe from anything at this point in time. The fact that Dr. Kissinger just happens to show up, probably not a great thing. So when Sid's are going around in her little quest with the gang and trying to find out exactly what happened to David before Clockworks, it's their mission that they're be given by Melanie. She is seeing the angry bird around. I just thought that was odd. Why do you think that was?
Well, she's been in David's mind when they did the body swap. Conscious swap, actually. I understand how her power works now, so it's interesting. So she was actually in his brain, and, you know, she's the one that triggered that huge thing at Clockworks. So because she's been in there and she's actually touched his power, then that's how she actually can see. And she's having those dreams as well. So they have this connection.
I thought it might be because of that connection that the angry boy, or the devil with yellow eyes, or Shadow King, or whatever you want to call it, is actually able to touch her mind and trying to dissuade her from going on this quest.
I understood it as like there was a tendril of the Shadow King that had also stretched into her mind because of the connection between the two of them.
Which would make sense for later as well, of what happens with David and her later. Yeah. Okay. You know, I'm old, but I still can't get beat poetry. What's up with that? Tell me what the appeal is with beat poetry.
I don't know. This is from your time, not mine.
Hey, man, counterculture movement. Girls in sundresses with no bras and weird syncopatic jazz, man.
Okay.
That's all I got for you.
I still didn't get any of that except for girls without bras. That I'm in for. Everything else, I'm like, really? What? I don't understand.
I mean, it shows how long he's been in there, because he asked David, is free love still going on? It's like, man, that was the 60s, basically. It's like, boy, he's been in there a long time.
Yep.
Being trapped inside your own mind for 50 years? Wow.
No, I think like 10 years.
Only 10 years?
Yeah, from the 60s to the 70s.
Is this in the 70s? Did we determine that?
This is either late 70s or early 80s, right?
See, I thought this was all happening real time.
Well, that's the thing. It's the design and style is very much of the 70s, but then there's like some anachronistic stuff in there.
Oh, so like 10, 20 years. Okay, that makes sense. Because I was like, Melanie should be a lot older, but she's not. So, okay. We can do that. It was interesting in Dr. Poole's office, by the way. First of all, objects have memory. Second of all, memories, not everybody's memories are accurate because they fade with time, right? But we also, this is where we really find out that something's causing David to act out, and he was trying to destroy evidence. And that was what the whole thing in Dr. Poole's office with him eating the tape.
And then he beat up the doctor.
Yeah, he's destroying the tape because, again, the Shadow King is editing David's memories in order to protect itself. Because if David becomes aware that the parasite is there, then he could fight it and get rid of it. And the Shadow King needs to be there to feed off of David for as long as possible. So going in there and basically saying, okay, he talked too much. Now I got to take over a little bit and prompt him to break in and get the tapes, destroy them, so David doesn't realize I'm around.
So it was the Shadow King protecting itself. And talking about the Shadow King, helped David get out of the astral plane by making him angry, kind of a dark side of the force sort of use of powers. And that was interesting that he knew that he was being manipulated, but he did so anyway, just because Sid was in trouble, or so he thought Sid was in trouble, and Sid actually wasn't in trouble.
That was a good plan where she touched the eye on purpose and it was a good plan. You know, hey, I'm going to put them in the van and I'm going to take them myself, and was driving right along. And then poor David.
Sid could have started using her words a little sooner, I feel like, in that situation, but, you know, there's a lot going on, so.
And she had just been concussed by the van or truck or whatever running into the tree.
What was it, like, slow down or drive safely or something like that was the tree, the sign she hit?
Yeah.
Figure. This will happen if you don't drive safely and use your seatbelt and use a vehicle with an airbag.
And not run into a very powerful telepath telekinetic.
That's right. But now he knows what Sid's power really is, so it would be difficult for her to use that power against him specifically in the future, and they will protect against her possibly being in another body of somebody from Division 3, which, by the way, I don't think we've discussed this yet or not. Why is S.H.I.E.L.D. allowing Division 3 to operate?
Is there a S.H.I.E.L.D.?
No, there isn't.
Why is there not a S.H.I.E.L.D.? This is the Marvel Universe.
It's the Fox Marvel Universe.
But if you go into the comics, it's all connected.
Aw, poor Star Pie is old and getting confused again.
Yeah, when it comes to this business model, they are not connected. Because Fox is not desperate enough to call Marvel and go, hey, we need money. That's what Sony did. Sony was like, I'm broke, what can I do? Oh yeah, call up Marvel and, you know, dangle Spider-Man in front of them.
All they did was allow Marvel to use the character for their movies, but for their joint movies, the team-up movies, and they still retained all ownership of the character as well as all revenue from the character's individual movies. So that, in the span of trading, horse trading, I don't know if that was really a good deal or not, but I don't know. We'll see. In 10 years from now, we'll see if it's been a really good deal. In the meantime, going back to this, I get it that this is FX or this is Fox and they have certain rights, but this whole division, I mean, in the Division 3 exists in the comics, right?
No idea.
Okay. Well, we'll have to ask Lauren that when she returns, if she returns, if she hasn't been a figment of my imagination this whole time.
It's entirely possible because there's a lot of like shadowy government-ish organizations out there.
Yeah.
All right. Well, if anybody else out there can answer for me why S.H.I.E.L.D. is allowing Division 3 to operate, please let me know. All right. So, Haley, anything else for this episode?
Well, I was looking on IMDb and somebody else had the same problem with Carrie that I did, that she was 8 when she showed up. But
okay.
No, other than that, I've only got quotes.
Michelle, any last words?
It's interesting that the ex-girlfriend is being watched, because she actually says they're watching.
Yeah, I think that was the tip-off that they were going to be trapped later on, and I just didn't get that at all. But I think, I mean, if Division 3 is trying to find David, they would go into all of his past resources. They obviously were barking up the right tree then, where they went back to her and found out that they were looking for Dr. Poole. So that's good on Division 3, and I just didn't even think about it. Even though from the beginning of the episode, they're showing the Division 3 henchmen out there with their automatic weapons firing. I mean, I knew it was coming, or should have, and just didn't put it together.
I know. That's one thing about this show. It really questions memory and what is real. And if something is real to you, then does that make it not real? Like, to David King, the dog was real, but Amy's like, we never had a dog. And so it's just, you know, like the storybook and everything. It's, this show is just really trippy, and it's still trippy the second time through.
It is indeed. And you've watched all of the series, right, Michelle?
Yes.
Okay. So we'll look forward to your comments as we close off the rest of this series. So Haley, you have some quotes.
Yes. Most people's memories are unreliable.
Apparently mine is as well.
Story of this show. Who are we if not the stories we tell ourselves?
Very deep.
Doctor, we didn't have a dog. Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, that was the what the F.
I'm pretty sure that was a commercial outline too.
Yeah, I think so. It was. I was watching where the commercials were in the show, and there was a scene that was continuous while you're watching it on, while I was watching it on Amazon Prime, that I knew exactly where the commercial break was. So well done, FX, I guess, for scheduling the commercial breaks.
Whatever it is you guys do in the bathroom.
I wish I had that knowledge.
Bras are back.
Unfortunately.
It's a trap.
It was too bad it wasn't said in Akbar's tone. It's a trap.
I know. It just now, anytime that line is used, you hear it as Akbar.
Exactly.
My turn.
Yeah, let's get this fight on. She was.
Oh, God, she dived out that window. Dang.
And I was wondering if she was going to get hurt from the window, from the shards of the glass that she was. But apparently she has some sort of anti-glass scratch and cut superpower.
It's cool. That's the immunity. It's cool.
Yep. If it's badass enough, it doesn't hurt.
Fair enough.
Science, dude.
Was that it?
Yep.
All right. Well, we have a few shows coming up. First of all, the next time that we will record will be Thursday, July 5th, and we'll go over Iron Fist Season 1, Episode 2, Shadowhawk Takes Flight. Next Sunday, we will be foregoing our normal Legion talk for Spider-Man Homecoming. I will not be here. Chris will be here. Haley will be here. Lauren, if she's real, will be here. And anybody else at Haley gets to invite that wants to talk about Spider-Man. And then the following Sunday is when we'll return to Legion Chapter 5. I will be back for that podcast. Well, Michelle, we're actually part of a geeky network, which you're actually on a sister show, the Starling Tribune, right?
Correct. With you and Chris.
That's right. And in which we talk about the CW show Arrow. And in the off season, we're running down Legends of Tomorrow as well. Haley, you have another show on the GunnaGeek.com network about the Crimson Comet, talking about the Flash, right?
Yes, I do.
All right. Well, we have a total of 20 plus shows on the network, and one of which is called Digital Soup. It's a brand new show on the network. In their latest episode 27, titled Opu, a Classic Gaming Resurgence, New Netflix Options, and a Sprinkle of Tech News. This week, the guys serve up some news about Netflix, who is offering choose your own adventure style programming. Oh, I remember those choose your own adventure books, don't you, Michelle?
Yes, I love them.
I think they might be too old for Haley. Haley, did you ever go through the choose your own adventure books?
I did a couple of them when I was a kid. I wasn't really crazy about them.
No, because you had to keep your fingers in the pages where in case you had to go back and stuff like that.
In case you like killed your person. See, my problem always was I wanted to see what all the possible outcomes were.
Right. And eventually I did that because you can read the book over and over and over again and end up in like 25 different endings.
Yep.
So, okay. So with a side dish of portable video card tech, the main course offering is a healthy blend of movie and classic gaming news with announcements from Sega and Nintendo. Bring your appetite because the Digital Soup is on. And once again, that's the Digital Soup podcast found at GunnaGeek.com. For now, we're going to move on into the news.
We're going to start off with a little bit of information about the movie universe. And the big question is, where does this Marvel Cinematic Universe begin? Apparently, the beginning of time.
John Watts, who's directing Spider-Man Homecoming, said, "There's an actual scroll that they, Marvel, unrolled for me. One of my producers, Eric Curl, it was his first job at Marvel to work on a timeline and see where things line up and see where things didn't quite line up, like, oh, that's when Captain America is born." Watts added that when it's unfurled, the scroll extends past a long conference table. He said, yes, it's very long. It's the most amazing thing because it starts, honestly, at the beginning of time. I don't remember specifically, but I think it has something to do with Thor. That visual of it just being out along this conference table, like, wow.
I would assume that the origin would have more to do with, like, the Inhumans and the Kree. So they're saying it starts when the Kree show up and create the Inhumans.
Yeah, or Thanos or something, yeah.
That scroll strikes me as something that Haley would actually put together.
Or spent a lot of time poring over. Oh, also the big fight with Odin and the Frost Giants. We've seen that in the movies too.
Oh yeah, we have. But there's Galactus. There's just there's a bunch of stuff that's timeless, really.
Yeah, we just saw Ego.
Yeah. Does MCU though have Galactus? Because Galactus is tied to the Fantastic Four and the Silver Surfer. So that's Fox, right?
Yeah. The Daredevil contract was about to expire at Fox. They tried to trade, like, hey, you can keep Daredevil and you can keep the Fantastic Four if you give us Galactus and the Silver Surfer. And Fox was like, nah, we're cool. You can have Daredevil back. Like, that's ever going to make any money.
I don't know exactly how much money Daredevil has made, but it started this whole Netflix universe, and I hope that it's made money for him, except for Iron Fist.
Somebody's making money. Yeah. All right. Well, next up, speaking of Fox, 20th Century Fox sets 6 mystery Marvel movie release dates. Who typed that string of words into the document?
Me. No, so according to the article, okay, so 2018 is shaping up to be a big year for Fox with 3 planned releases, including The New Mutants on April 13th, Deadpool 2 on June 1st, and X-Men Dark Phoenix on November 2nd. Well, there's also other dates. The new dates include June 7th and November 22nd in 2019, March 13th, June 26th, and April 2nd in 2020, and March 5th in 2021. And nobody really knows what's going to be. There's speculation that maybe it's Deadpool 3, X-Force, the New Mutants sequel, more X-Men movies, but it's just interesting that they have these dates out there. I don't know if they mean anything or if somebody just drew them out of a hat.
I've heard more talk that the Fantastic Four is either going to be rebooted again or they're going to try for a Fantastic Four 2, and I don't see this as a real viable option for them.
Well, a sequel seems like a really bad idea.
Yeah, I mean, Marvel's canceled the comics. Like, this is how much spite Marvel has. Like, there's no Fantastic Four comic going around. And it's like they really want to try to force Fox to either keep churning out bad Fantastic Four movies or to finally give the Fantastic Four back to Marvel.
Well, no, they don't want them to be making bad Fantastic Four movies because there's a lot of people out there that are like, oh, that's a Marvel movie and it's bad, and aren't making the distinction between, you know, Fox Studios and Marvel Studios.
I wonder, we're so ingrained with it. I wonder how the average person really sees, because with Marvel, you've got Universal, right, with Hulk, you've got Fox with the mutants and with Spider-Man. So there's, what, 4 studios that retain rights to characters in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, basically. And I wonder if the average viewer really understands that.
I would say three, seriously, because the Hulk is, he's in the MCU, and they're never going to make it in a way that Universal gets to make a movie. But, you know, you've got Sony with all the Spider-Man stuff, and you've got Fox with the mutants and the Fantastic Four. And there's people that don't make the distinction between these different comic companies, even. Like, it's just superhero movies. So the DC stuff, even, that's coming out, they're like, oh, that's a superhero movie.
I was just explaining the difference between DC Comics and Marvel Comics yesterday to somebody, and all I could get out is, okay, so DC has Superman, Batman, Wonder Woman, Aquaman, and Green Lantern. And then Marvel's got Iron Man and Captain America, Black Widow, and Spider-Man. And I still got this look like, I don't get it. Like, okay. I didn't get it either a while back, so I guess that's how people roll.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, if it's not your thing, it's a lot to keep track of. The last little bit of news we have is that the 43rd annual Saturn Awards just happened, and some familiar titles won some awards.
Yeah. Best comic to film motion picture, Doctor Strange. Best science fiction film, Rogue One, A Star Wars Story. Best actor in a film, Ryan Reynolds for Deadpool. Best supporting actress in a film, Tilda Swinton for Doctor Strange. That's an interesting choice. Best performance by a young actor, Tom Holland for Captain America Civil War. Best direction in a film, Gareth Edwards for Rogue One, A Star Wars Story. Best film visual and special effects, Rogue One, A Star Wars Story. And best new media TV series, it was a tie between Stranger Things and Luke Cage.
Interesting. I'll have to go back and take a look at the 41st and 42nd annual Saturn Awards to see if other shows like Jessica Jones or Daredevil were included. So I'll have to go take a look at that. But that is definitely a good slate of films there.
Yeah, Disney, cleaning up.
I need to start buying Disney stock. I was just looking at this video on Facebook today. Yeah, somebody linked it to me and I had to go get on Facebook somehow to see it, of this girl who was watching the end of Rogue One, A Star Wars Story. It just went nuts at the ending with the stealing of the plans and Princess Leia there. I mean, she was like, she'd never seen it before and she was just going nuts with it. So I'll have to throw that link in the show notes. All right. Is that all the news we have for today, Haley?
That is it.
All right. Well, it's time to walk this one out. All right. Thank you very much, everybody, for downloading and listening or watching the show on YouTube. Just want to say thank you very much. And thank you very much, Michelle, for coming on last minute to discuss the episode of Legion that made it all come together.
Yeah, thank you for having me. Always enjoy appearing on the show.
Thank you to everybody that's listening. Also, Lauren's not here to say this. Thank you to everybody that participates in her live tweets that she does leading into the show. And thank you to everybody that sends feedback. We didn't get any this week, but we know you all are busy typing up your feedback for the next episode right now, and we really appreciate that.
We do indeed. So it's been a fun episode. I look forward to the next ones coming up. And until next time, I'm Director Stargate Pioneer.
I'm Agent Haley.
And I'm Consultant Michelle. Maybe.
See you guys next time. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening. If you want to leave us feedback, go to gunnageek.com and you will find all our contact information and other shows. You can also visit legendsofshield.com where you'll find our complete archive of podcasts. The music heard on this podcast is by Kevin MacLeod, found at incompetech.com, and also artists on pond5.com and audiojungle.net. The opinions heard on this podcast are those of the individual hosts and do not represent Stargate Pioneer Productions, Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., or Gunna Geek. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is the property of the Disney Corporation, Marvel Studios, and ABC. No infringement is intended.
Good, how are you?
I am doing fine and dandy. Behind of where I wanted to be, as always, but hey.
Yeah.
Turned out to be a 5-day weekend for me, so. Yeah.
Well, that's nice.
It was. The first day could have gone better. I ended up spending $1,000 on my car, took it in for a routine oil change, and things just snowballed from there.
Oh, gosh.
So the first thing is they said, well, the oil pan is leaking and the bolt for the oil pan is stripped. I was like, but I've only taken it to you guys. I've never done it by myself. And I've always taken it here and you have the service. Well, it's just a normal, it's almost got 200,000 miles on it. So it's just a normal wear and tear item. I was like, yeah, screw you. It's not a normal wear and tear. You should take. So they were trying to stick that to me, but after they, and they did. But after they redid it and they started the car back up, the mechanic noticed something that was wrong with it. So I know engines might not be everybody's thing, but there's this engine and it's in my car. It's a V6. Therefore, it's got some overhead cams and underneath it's got an actual drive shaft. And all of this is connected via a drive chain that goes on the front of the engine, which is actually off to the side, but that's what they call the front of the engine, is all those chains. And outside the chains, there's a casing, and outside the casing, that's where your belts are that runs like the alternator and the water pump and that sort of thing. Well, about at 100,000 miles, cars that are built like this with a normal, like a normal V4, V6 gas engine, they need service, and in that service, they need the tensioner replaced. And the tensioner is basically this thing that just keeps this chain, which is a big bicycle chain. It's what it looks like. Keeps this thing taut, so it doesn't slip or anything. Well, it had gone bad, and it wasn't replaced with the normal 100,000 mile service, which I had done at 137,000 miles, just because I was bad, so bad SP, but. I had it done and they should have changed it, but they didn't. And in the between, it's at about 50,000 miles right now, it went bad. So this entails, just this $200 part entails taking off the entire front of the engine and putting in this $200 part, which is 6 hours of labor. Now I could have done it myself, but I'm leaving town next week and didn't want to take the extra time to do it. So I'm like, it was going to be $1,000 repair, but the mechanic felt bad that his fellow mechanic that no longer worked there didn't do it right. So he cut off half the labor. So I'm like, well, I guess I'm going to go with this because it's a deal for me. He's going to eat the cost. So, oh my gosh, that's 3 hours of his time that he gave me for free.
Yeah.
And I get a van that works great. And I knew this was bad, by the way, because I kept on getting a cylinder misfire warning, which I have a handy dandy code reader, and I'm able to just go in and delete that code because I'd already tried several different things to get rid of that code. And I thought it was just the fuel injectors that were gumming up. Turns out the tensioner going bad is also something that could make that happen. So I'm like, okay, kill two birds, one stone, get the thing working again for another year or two, and I'm good. But $1,000. Oh my gosh. That's like,
ouch.
That's like a new car payment. It's more than a new truck payment. So guess what? I am now actively truck shopping.
You're going to get a new GMC Sierra?
Actually, that is on the table, but I have found that those are extraordinarily expensive and that a Chevy Z71 gives me just about everything else that I need without the added GMC label, which is an extra somewhere between $15,000 and $25,000 for the same truck.
Wow.
Exactly. Aside from that, my 5-day weekend's going pretty good. How about yours, Michelle? Haley, how's life out in the, I would call it a sauna. It's more like just a oven.
I was in the field on Thursday and Friday this week and got a little sun. I don't know if it's showing up on camera as much, but that's where my watch was.
Oh my gosh.
Oh gosh.
I see it up on your arm.
Yep.
Oh, wow.
So are things randomly bursting into flames yet?
I don't know. I don't go outside unless I can help it. So the kids are out of school and there's just roving bands of children around here. And some of them were like, oh, it's real hot. We're going to like break eggs on the sidewalk and see what happens. So over on one side of the pool, not my side, luckily, like just like a whole carton of eggs broken on the sidewalk.
Had it cooked?
Because science?
Well, yeah, they cooked.
Well, because sometimes they don't, because they actually cover the sidewalk and it doesn't get hot enough to actually cook them. So were they overcooked?
No, it was
eggs?
Already hot enough.
Okay.
Good Lord.
So, Haley, I didn't have a chance to tell you. Lauren messaged me yesterday and said she couldn't make it because she has a visitor over and the visitor won't be leaving till later today. I was thinking about pushing this till tomorrow, but I thought, yeah, let's just get it over with. So I asked Michelle to be on. I hope you're okay with that.
That's fine. No, Michelle can't be here. She has to leave.
See, that's what I was hoping for, an open debate on whether Michelle should be here or not, right in front of her. That's what I wanted.
Thank you.
I was in a travel coma from Tuesday through Friday, which made the $1,000 auto bill even that more special. For a rental car, they gave me a Honda Fit, which I know we've had people associated with the network that have owned Honda Fits and they're okay cars, but I swear I felt all three cylinders hitting every single time I touched the accelerator. Oh, this thing's worse than a golf cart.
And after I remember, it's like, oh, I should have seen this from the beginning. Do I need to turn in my gate card?
It was a well done ruse, but I think it was too well done. And it pushed a lot of people out. It's like that mystery when you finally reveal it, everybody's like, eh, okay. And they move on. Like the, what was that show, Revolution, Haley? When they finally revealed that.
Oh, yeah, I'm
really
glad that one got canceled.
Yeah.
Yeah, the nanites.
Yeah. And they finally revealed it was nanites. I was like, okay, I'm out. And I think I was out before that. I just wanted to know what it was.
That show, it was in that spot where it was like, it wasn't quite bad enough to push me away completely. Mm-hmm. So I quit watching, but it was a burden to watch every week.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. I remember I actually watched the second season. I don't know why.
I did too. I watched it all the way to the end.
I think I ended up going back like in a summer and rewatching it or something like that. I think I've seen all the way to the end. There was like a bunker in the middle of Kansas or something.
Yeah, and there was the city. It's actually kind of getting a little interesting at the end, but then they canceled it. And I'm like, oh, all right.
Good grief, Disney. Take all the awards, why don't you?
That's better than Suicide Squad.
Academy Award-winning Suicide Squad.
That's it. Michelle's not allowed on the podcast anymore.
So, Haley, As I was driving back and forth from my business trip this past week, I was listening to some of the past Crimson Comet episodes. And I tweeted this, so you've seen it. But
I didn't know what it was referencing, though.
Yeah, episode 6, you called the fact that HR was going to die.
Yeah.
So you called it.
Well, yeah, because you can kill HR and you get all the weight of a character death, but you get to keep the actor around. So why not kill him every season?
Yeah. It's like blowing up the X Mansion every single movie.
We're going to need another Timmy. I mean, that's just the sense I got from it.
Lauren coming out with a good pull. So headcanon accepted. I don't have anything better.
I'm not Lauren.
There is no Lauren. Lauren is a figment, has always been a figment.
It's just a manifestation in your mind.
This episode has screwed me up so much. I'm sorry, Haley. So Haley coming out with a big pull. Way to go, Haley.
Yep. I'm getting ready to start Bitch Planet.
Oh, yeah?
Which I've heard is amazing.
Cool.
You might want to, like, I don't know, do it in trades, because I was reading it, but there was like a long gap and I just sort of forgot about it. And so I dropped it, and I'll probably, you know, once it has some more trades in it or something, I might go back to it. But
see, I check Image's website just like once every month or two to see like, okay, do any of the things I read from you have new issues? And if they do, I grab them. And if not, it's like, whatever. I get all my stuff digitally. So it's not like I actually have to go to the comic shop.
And you probably do have a comic shop near you now.
Probably somewhere. Yeah. I don't know. That would involve like going outside where there are people and the sun. I don't know if you've heard about it.
Yeah.
It's kind of terrible.
It's that thing that I warned you about when you moved to Arizona. broadcast has been successfully terminated.
Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. is copyright 2017.